Oh, it's a beautiful Friday out there, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome inside the studio. I'm your host, Spencer Wilson. This is the Spencer Wilson Show. Back on the board is Mr. Sean Cloud.
I am back indeed.
Yes, sir. And we got a fun show for you today. Of course, it's Friday in the fall / winter. And that means that Sean will have his fantasy picks ready to go for week 8. We'll give you our reaction to Thursday Night Football last night, as well as give you a preview for game 3 of the World Series. We'll also have our pal Ian Epstein of Prop Swap on the phone, and then we'll give you our predictions for the Sunday in the NFL. That'll be coming up in the second hour. Kicking off the show today, we'll have some segments from our coaches show a couple days ago with Coach Jay Norvell and Coach Amanda Levins. And we'll also preview the Formula One Mexican Grand Prix that is getting ready to get going, having their second practice session right now, about to come to a close. But all of that is coming up today in the show. But we're going to start right here where we usually do, in Reno. And let's talk about some Wolfpack sports going on this weekend. The football team heading up to Laramie, Wyoming, to take on the Cowboys of Wyoming in their next conference matchup. And it's going to be an uphill battle. We know that every road game in a conference, doesn't matter what conference you play in, doesn't matter what time of year it is, what part of the season you're in, a road conference game is arguably some of the toughest games on your schedule, and this is going to be no different. Wyoming, they're a very good team. They're 5-2 overall, 2-1 in the Mountain West. They've got some big wins this year out of conference. They're 3-2 in their last 5 games. Kind of like Nevada, coming off kind of this win-loss alternate type of play. Wyoming won their last game against New Mexico 23-10 after losing on the road to San Diego State 26-22. And, of course, Nevada coming off that 36-10 loss at Utah State after beating San Jose State here at home 41-38. We know Malik Henry isn't going to be out there due to some academic reasons, and I feel like that's been part of this struggle for Nevada this season. There's been talent out there, and they've been able to play, but with some jog, I mean, you can't control some injuries, which has happened. That's just part of sports. But I feel like when you have to kind of go back and forth to different quarterbacks, just rhythm is going to be disrupted. Each quarterback has their different style of play. Some like to stay in the pocket more. Some like to scramble more. Some like to have quick plays or you know, be able to hold the ball for a little bit, let it evolve. So I think when you're trying to get back and forth between your two or between your couple quarterbacks, it's gonna disrupt that flow of your offense every now and again. And we've seen that with this Nevada team, but there has still been some continuity, some consistency in the fact their defense is continuing to play good games. Even though they gave up 36 to Utah State, they had some big plays, they got some turnovers, they were able to put some pressure on Utah State early in the game and try to keep this team in it. And unfortunately, this didn't go Nevada's way. But like I said, they have been playing this kind of win-lose type football, so they're on track to possibly win this game up in Wyoming. And it's going to come down to just trying to slow down this quarterback, Shawn Chambers. I mean, you see this more in college, where quarterbacks not only lead the team in passing, but they lead the team in running as well, as Shawn Chambers does. He's got 547 yards on 85 carries this year and 9 rushing touchdowns to go along with 46 completions for 757 yards and 5 touchdowns through the air. He has thrown 2 interceptions. But this is a guy that pretty much flows, the offense flows through him. You got to be able to make him uncomfortable. You got to be able, I mean, the thing about a quarterback that can pass and is leading his team in rushing is you know that he can handle pressure well. He's not afraid to get past the line of scrimmage, make guys miss, bowl some guys over. So it's going to be a new for this Nevada football team. But I feel like this is those kind of unique challenges that test a team and force you to change and force you to get better. And when you're on the road, it's even more so. And I know that Coach Norvell and his staff are going to pump these guys up, have them ready to go tomorrow afternoon. And it's going to be an interesting outing for the Wolfpack. It's going to be loud. It's going to be rowdy. It is during the day, so you could get some breaks there with the weather. But it's going to be another test for them. And this is a testing stretch with New Mexico and San Diego State as well coming up before their next bye week. This is a stretch that tests Nevada game in and game out. And they came up short against Utah State on the road. And going from Logan to Laramie doesn't get any easier. So hopefully Nevada can play well. They can clean up the self-inflicted errors they had on offense. Because that's the thing. They were able to move the ball. It's just when they did, they would have a holding penalty, and then a false start, and then something, you know, whatever it may have been next that caused them to move back. They would get inside the 20 and then get penalties all the way back to maybe the 40 or 45. So if Nevada can clean up their self-inflicted penalties on offense, continue to move the ball and get into a rhythm, have their defense continue to fly around and make plays, this can be a team that goes into Laramie and grinds out a victory. Now, ESPN Match Predictor does have Nevada at a 10% chance to win this game, but that's 10% better than zero.
That's true.
You know? And that's all you ask for in sports. Just give me a chance to win, and Nevada's got a chance to go into Laramie and get that win. So we'll see if they can do it. It's not going to be easy, though. They're also not the only team that's got something going on this weekend. Women's soccer has a game tonight versus Colorado State here at home at Mackey Stadium, 6:30 p.m. And then on Sunday, they host the University of Wyoming, coming in with a noon kickoff there. And then that's the last home game of the regular season is this Sunday. So be sure to get out there, support the team. This is their last home weekend. And then they end their season a week from today at UNLV. So be sure to get out there this weekend and support the women's soccer team as they wrap up their home regular season schedule. And then the swim and dive team also in action here at home with a doubleheader this weekend. Tonight at 5 o'clock at the Lombardi Pool, they host Fresno State in conference. Then tomorrow afternoon at 11 a.m., or I guess tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Why do I always feel like 11 a.m. is so it feels almost afternoon-ish.
Because it's in between that brunch and like lunch and breakfast, right there. Just
it
right
is.
There.
It, whenever I see 11 a.m., it kind of depends on the time of year, whether I feel like it's afternoon or not. Technically, obviously, it's not because it's not afternoon. But nonetheless, 11 a.m. Saturday morning, the swim and dive team hosts UC Davis at the Lombardi Pool. Of course, coming off their 172-126 victory at UNLV a couple weeks ago. Be nice to see them get back in the pool and bounce back here at home. And then the volleyball team completing their road trip. They have a game tomorrow at noon at Colorado State. Unfortunately, yesterday they fell on the road to the University of Wyoming. Not a great omen as our football team heads up there, but the volleyball team came up a little short, getting swept by the University of Wyoming, and that takes them to a 14-7 overall record, 4-5 in conference. They still have a little while to go though in their season, plenty of opportunities to get back at it. Again, at Colorado State tomorrow at noon, and they'll be back home here in Reno next weekend for Utah State and Boise State. So that's kind of what's going on in the world of the Wolfpack. But let's talk about the big game going down tomorrow night. Reno 1868 FC knows who they're going to face, and it's their rivals of the Donner Pass Derby, Sacramento Republic FC. This is going to be, I mean, not only is it fun because it's the first home playoff game, but how much fun is that your first home playoff game, it's against one of your rivals? I mean, that just puts a little cherry on top of the sundae right there. And in terms of past matchups, USL Championship League matchups have gone the way of Reno against Sacramento. If you look at their last five meetings, three of them have been inside the USL. The other two have been for the United States Open Cup. Sacramento has both of those victories. But in terms of USL Championship play, in the last three meetings, Reno has beaten Sacramento two out of those last three and two straight. 4-1 over Sacramento earlier this year in May. Then a little later on than that in June, Reno beat Sacramento again 2-0. So this is a Reno team that has success in this USL Championship play against Sacramento. They get to host the Republic FC again here in Reno. And I think it's going to be absolutely just a ton of fun. There was a lot of fun from the play-in rounds. Everything kind of went according to plan in the Western Conference with Sacramento and Austin Bold both winning. That was the 7th and 8th seed. But the Eastern Conference saw two upsets with Charlotte upsetting Ottawa in a shootout 5-4. And then Birmingham upsetting North Carolina 3-2. That's a 10th seed over a 7th seed. So some fun play there. It'll be interesting to see how everything else plays out in this first weekend of the conference quarterfinals. Of course, Reno and Sacramento, the winner of that, will get the winner of Fresno and El Paso. And again, if Reno wins and beats Sacramento, they will host the conference semifinal game right back here at home. I thought I had the date here. Well, it's early November, I believe. I think it's November 2nd. I think it's next weekend.
It's a week after, I believe.
Yeah, so I think if it's next weekend, if Reno wins, they'll be right back here at home hosting either El Paso or Fresno. But super exciting. Should be a lot of fun. Should be a great atmosphere. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Sean and I would go if we weren't scheduled to be working.
Well, you'll be able to go, actually.
I might be able to make it there should the football game wrap up and not go into crazy overtime or take like 4 hours to get through. That is correct. So, you know, maybe I'll be out there. Maybe you'll catch me out there. Maybe you'll see me. I'm going to try to get out there.
I'll be there for the after party.
There you go. That's what Sean really looks forward to.
Drinking with everyone. That's what I care about right there.
But this is a matchup that's favored Reno. They've been playing really well. Again, Corey Herzog, Brian Brown leading the way for Reno as well as Danny Musovsky. So it should be good. Should be a lot of fun. And like I said, get out there, support this team, get rowdy. It's the first home playoff game for this franchise here in Reno, so it's not a game to miss. When we come back from the break, we'll share some of our conversation with Coach Norvell from the Coach's Show a couple days ago right here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit Blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more. If you haven't already, you need to get out to Bullies off of Rob Drive Wednesdays before Thanksgiving, because that's when the football coaches show essentially ends, is after Thanksgiving. Then we move on to basketball season. So if you haven't gotten a chance to get out there to Bullies off of Rob Drive Wednesday nights from 6 to 7, shame on you. You should do that. But if you haven't, we always have fun conversations. We had Coach Norvell and Coach Alford last week. Then we got Coach Norvell and the women's coach, Amanda Levins, this week. And we were talking to Coach Norvell in the second segment, and starts with Mr. Ramey asking about that Basalite big blocker. And here's our conversation.
The Basalite big blocker of the Utah State game, Coach Norvell.
It's going to be Miles Beach.
Miles Beach.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Brought to you by Basalite Concrete Products. Remember, don't just fight it, Basalite it. We were just talking off the air about a John McKay quote about letters he was getting, letters when he was the coach at Tampa Bay and legendary coach at USC and a very quotable football personality. But do you get mail? Do you get feedback?
I do sometimes.
From the community?
I do. I get a lot of anonymous letters.
How's that?
Don't read too many of the anonymous ones.
Sure.
No, you, from time to time and over the years you get letters, sometimes phone messages. Nothing too crazy.
Nothing
though.
Crazy. No, but people crazy. Do, I mean, there are times where fans or people at large just want to share what they think about the job you're doing.
Sometimes they draw plays and they have like 8 players on there and they don't have a legitimate.
They will send in diagram plays.
Oh, yeah. Diagram plays.
Wow.
From old Wishbone and their grandpa drew up and from Little League football. And yeah, you get a little bit of everything
okay. You
know, when you're the head coach.
Yeah, just in talking to you about that, I hadn't really thought about that. But, yeah, I guess you get a little feedback.
No doubt.
All right. We were talking about the Basalite big blocker of the game, and I want to talk about the offensive line, and I also want to talk about the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into both of those things, they're very related.
Yep.
Given, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say at this point we can describe the Union's play this year in wanting for more consistency.
No question.
So is it difficult to assess a quarterback's performance when there is not a consistent standard of protection from the offensive line?
Well, I think the best way to describe it is that our inconsistencies have been spread out through different levels of our offense.
Right.
And it starts up front. And really, if you're outstanding in the offensive line or if you're outstanding at quarterback, you can kind of overcome some of your problems and some of your issues. And we just have been young and inexperienced at both. And so we've kind of taken turns at maybe making some mistakes or playing inconsistent. And that's kind of led to our inconsistent play offensively. We're certainly capable of being explosive and running the football and throwing for a high percentage, but it's kind of like having water in your gas tank. It just doesn't run evenly. So we're working through that. You know, I also feel like that we're very capable of gaining confidence very quickly and playing very well for a stretch. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to push through and break through. But we have to play better up front. We have to protect the quarterback better. We have to run the ball better. And we have to play without making penalties. You know, many of our penalties have been in our offensive line. And so that has to be more consistent on game day.
What's that like on the sideline? I understand the mantra in the heat of battle is one snap and clear, right? You're just playing the next play.
Yep.
But you get first and goal inside the five, and then there's a penalty, and then you're backed up. And maybe that happens. Well, there were 13 penalties in the game. I don't know how many offensive, but a number of them.
Too many.
How is that psychologically, and how challenging is that for a coaching staff to maintain the poker face when I'm sure inside you're thinking, not this again?
Well, it's very difficult to play a good defense and if you don't have penalties. And if you have penalties, it just makes it even more difficult. And so, you know, in the red zone, penalties absolutely kill you. You know, we had a holding penalty on the first drive on the 8-yard line. And then we made a big play. Malik made a big play and got back to the one. And it was third and one. And we're pretty good in third and one. We get Devontae Lee in there. He's been almost automatic at times. And so we have to do a good job there. But then we jump off sides. And now we put ourselves back. So we just can't do it. And, you know, we've been very, very good in that regard. In our first couple of years, and then this year we're struggling with a lot of new players and inexperience. And, you know, the inexperience at center probably has affected the other players because the center kind of gets everybody lined up, makes all the calls, makes sure everybody knows what's doing. And we just had some indecision at that position. And so that's been hard to overcome so far.
And remember last year there was the miracle of Kalei Meyer. After Kreps got hurt, and those very close to the program were quite struck, and it was a tremendously positive development when Kalei was able to take over that role from Kreps, because it is such a central part to what the O-line is doing.
It's a difficult position to make all the calls, and so that's something that we've been struggling with, having a new quarterback and also having a new center, a couple new centers. And so it's taken a little time for that to settle down. And so we'll just continue to press those kids through. They're getting better every week. And we got a lot of football. You know, the season is still in the balance. All the teams in our division got to start playing each other now. And so there's a lot of meat on the bone, and we just got to continue to press and fight every week.
All right, so you're going to play a different quarterback this week.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sentiment – there's kind of a pithy phrase where if you have three quarterbacks, you have none. I think that's a little bit cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that specifically grasps the challenges you guys have had at that position this year. Would Malik have started if he didn't have the off-field issues to the classroom stuff to work on this
week?
Yes,
very possibly. Very absolutely, possibly. Yes. And you know, Malik... You know, we've had three different quarterbacks. They've all been hurt at one point or another this year. And I think it's a blessing that we have three talented quarterbacks, and I look at it that way. Would you like to have one guy in there all the time? Yeah, but that's not where we are right now. And so Malik would have started this game had he been in different standing academically, and I just felt it was the best thing for him as a student, as a young guy that's just transferred here and trying to get adjusted to Nevada. I just thought it was the best thing for him and his future to just focus on school right now. And hopefully he can get himself in good standing and before the end of the season get back with us and be ready to contribute.
And, Coach, this will be a first time playing Wyoming for you and going up to Laramie. What have you heard about that stadium? What have you heard about the crowd? What are you kind of expecting as the kind of the natural adversity of that stadium?
Well, I actually have played there before at a different school. I was at Iowa State, and we went up there and played. And it's a great atmosphere. It's a really nice stadium. You know, they're a prideful fan base, and they're playing good football right now. So You know, I'm excited about the opportunity to go up there. I haven't been there as a member of the Wolfpack yet and really looking forward to it. So, you know, and our kids are too. And you know, going on the road is it's great bonding for your team. And so we're looking forward to that challenge. And we need a good win versus a good football team.
And you talk about the youth on the team. You talk about some of the interchanging parts as well. But there's plenty of effort to go around throughout this roster. So with the history of these two teams playing very close games, I believe the last five meetings have been decided by one possession. When you get late into the game, it is a close game. How do you now go about kind of controlling the frustration, trying to avoid maybe what some of the things that happened on the road in Logan?
No, I just think we look at it as a great opportunity. You know, this team is a physical team. They're a run-based team and a defensive team. And so a lot of their games are close. And that's the way they like to play. They're not going to change who they are. And that's great. We're excited about that. We're looking forward to that. And we've been working very hard to build our program up to be a physical program that can play well in these kind of games and late in the season when it's inclement weather. So we've practiced very well. That's the one thing I've been proud of this team. It's practiced well. It's paying attention to detail. It's worked very hard. We've handled the adjustments we've made to practice, and we feel like that's going to pay off on the field.
At Camelot Party Rentals, we make it great so you can celebrate with the best selection of rental equipment for weddings and special events. Camelot Party Rentals, proud sponsor of the Nevada Wolfpack. There is a concept in sports fandom, and that is the broadcaster's jinx, which I do not believe in. But if it were true, we would all need raises. But I need to fess up. I think I jinxed Brandon Tolton because I was running my mouth about it in your presence, not on the air. Mm-hmm. And I had to pay my penance. I'm doing that right now.
I've been downplaying all that praise for weeks.
And I've spent enough time around baseball.
Right.
I should know better.
Yep.
And so that's my bad, Coach.
Well, he was. There's nobody more upset than him about missing the kick. And, you know, he knew eventually it was going to happen.
It was a 51-yarder, too.
Yeah,
right?
it was a long kick. But he's certainly capable, and he expects to make every kick, and he expects to kick it down the middle. You know, he's come off the field when the ball was offset right or left, and he was very upset about the way he kicked the ball. But he's a perfectionist, and he's going to have to bounce back from missing kicks. That's part of being a kicker. And I feel very confident that he will. He's kicked well this week in practice. And there's nobody going to be more anxious to get back on the field than Brandon to kick.
One thing that we talk about sometimes off the air on this show, but we've never actually discussed, is that Wednesday is an important night for you for the Wolfpack of the future. So just tell folks what you do when you're done. I mean, last week you had practice, so it was a little different.
Right.
But your normal Wednesday schedule after you do this, you're on the recruiting trail, so to speak.
Yeah, I go home and call recruits. I usually call 8 to 10 kids of our top kids every Wednesday night, and I kind of have my routine. I go out in my backyard by my fire pit, and sometimes I have a cigar sometimes while I talk to these kids. But, no, I enjoy it, and I love talking to the kids and the families and getting caught up with what they're going on with. And it's important that they hear from me. You know, our assistants call every week and talk to kids. But we're having a great recruiting year, and we've got a very talented staff of recruiters. And this is a big time of year because we're pressing towards November. A lot of official visits will finalize in December, and a lot of these kids will make their decision before the December 20th signing date. So there's a lot of things that are going to start happening in recruiting.
How important is it for them to hear from the head coach, and do you think you differentiate yourself and your program that way?
I think it's important. I think that's something that has always been a strength of mine. I like to recruit. I love the interaction with the players and families, and I like to learn about the kids. You know, I have a list of questions that I ask about character, and you know, we want to know what kind of extracurriculars the kids are doing. We want to know if they're doing anything after school besides football, if they ever had a summer job. There's a lot of things that you can find out by asking kids what kind of injuries they've had. And so I love talking to them about that and getting to know them. And a lot of head coaches don't like to talk to kids on the phone. And I think that can be an advantage for us, and it has been so far.
Man, I don't know what would be not fun about talking to Coach Norvell on a Wednesday night when he's got a cigar, you know? That'd be the best, just to have a nice phone conversation with him. But it was a lot of fun to talk to Coach Norvell there, getting ready for the Wyoming game this weekend. And, again, that is a 11 a.m. kickoff here in Reno. You can catch – or not here in Reno, but on the radio here in Reno. It'll be at 11 a.m. With Mr. John Ramey on the call, as well as his pal Mike Edwards. When we come back from the break, we'll have a giveaway for you, and we're going to listen to some of our conversation with Coach Amanda Levins that we had as well this past Wednesday. That's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
We had the pleasure, John Ramey and myself, of talking to the head coach of the Nevada women's basketball team, Miss Amanda Levins, and she is incredibly fun and so nice to talk to. It's my first time I've actually gotten to talk to her in person, talked to her a couple times over the phone. Actually, that's not true. I had her here in studio before I got a chance to talk to her there at the coach's show. But we started off our conversation talking about some players that Nevada now has playing overseas professionally. So here's our conversation with Coach Levins.
We are frantically, we're researching Taye Zeller, who is one of two players playing overseas right now, Wolfpack alums. Tere Briggs is playing professionally in Sweden. Taye Zeller in Australia. And, Coach, you were just talking about she maybe making a jump up in the level of competition there in Australia.
Yeah, so a team in Australia in the WNBL, or the highest league in Australia, had an injury to one of their post players who, funny enough, played at Arizona State, who I know, and actually right. played with one of our former assistants, Sybil Dosti, at Arizona State. So they pulled Taye up, and she's on, I think it's a three-game contract, and seeing how she does, maybe they would keep her, maybe she could go to another team, or she could go back to the team that she was on prior. So either way, it's kind of a win-win for her to get some exposure in a higher league and just keep growing herself professionally.
I mean, you just witnessed a live radio, tape-delayed television Google about that, so I didn't turn up anything definitive, but Taye is in Australia, and you do have two players playing internationally professionally. Is that part, I mean, I would assume that becomes part of your recruiting pitch or part of kind of the message of the program, look, people play professionally after they play here. How important is that?
I think it speaks to our skill development and our commitment to them developing individually. And we talk about that a lot in the recruiting process, is that if you come to Nevada and play for us, you're going to get better, because we truly work on it every single day. And we kind of try to take what they're good at and keep getting better at it, and what they're not good at, and not maybe necessarily make it a strength, but not, you know, it's not going to be a weakness anymore. And I think in recruiting post players, we can speak to, hey, Taye Zeller averaged 5 points a game for 3 years at Nevada, and then she's all first team All Mountain West her senior year, averaging close to a double-double. And a lot of that is Taye, and a lot of that is Tere and their work ethic, but also I think it's our blueprint for, like, this is, if you follow these things, this is where you're going to get to. And so I think, yeah, it's exciting for players that, you know, want to play past college. And also we tell them, like, if you can go and play, and someone's going to pay you to tour the world and experience that, go. You can always come back and work. You can always come back and get a job, but you can't do this forever. So we're really, we really support them doing that.
Shelter Insurance. Ask an agent about how Shelter's auto policy includes roadside assistance. Learn more at shelterinsurance.com. So Taye Zeller in Australia, Tere Briggs in Sweden playing professionally. Two new assistant coaches for you on your staff, Ashley Elliott and Jasmine Pitts. The staff is so important. There's a lot of coaching that happens. It can't all be you. And assistants have different dynamics and relationships with the student athletes than the head coach. So this is a super important thing. Tell me about the new coaches.
Absolutely. So Ashley and I worked together at Arizona State. She was our director of ops. She actually played at Wyoming and is in their Hall of Fame for basketball. So obviously a great player, great shooter, played overseas for a couple years. And then she worked on our staff last year as a coordinator of operations. So having worked together at Arizona State, she understands like how we prepare in terms of scouting reports, the way that we want to produce content and recruit players, and has helped a lot with that. So she's taking over the position of recruiting coordinator on our staff. And then Jasmine Pitts, she was Jasmine Hill 2 years ago when she worked with us. So she was a grad assistant our first season here at Nevada and actually played for Coach Laura Gonzalez and I at Southern Illinois Edwardsville. So she understands our system, kind of how we coach, our expectations, understands all of our terminology, which is important when you're coaching the players, that you're saying the same things in the same way. And then being a graduate assistant, she's familiar with Reno, she's familiar with the university. And so I think, honestly, having them both in the coaching roles, there's been very little like formal training of them because they completely understand. It's like we didn't even skip a beat. They just slid in and we're just continuing on doing the things that we were doing as we were. And then Brittany Akins, who was a graduate assistant last year, slid into Ashley's role. So she's really familiar, again, with everything we're doing.
And Coach, with that familiarity when these new coaches either come in or take to a new position, how have you seen that kind of help speed up the evolution of the chemistry between the new players and the players that are coming back?
Well, I think not having to train them in terms of like what we need them to do on our staff, and they already have relationships with the players. That's huge. Is the players already know them, they already trust them, they can, you know, come to them. And I just think everything kind of fits together a little more. There's not as much newness with the staff to players. And so with having 8 new players, any amount of stuff that is an easier transition is really nice.
And with that as well, then you have a group of freshmen coming back as sophomores, now that we've talked about once before that kind of had that trial by fire period last year. So with them coming back now and being more comfortable and confident, have you seen that translate to them helping some of those newer players come in, just get more acclimated and more confident as this preseason goes along?
Yeah, for sure. They want to win. The new players want to win. The players that we have in the transfer capacity, they played college basketball and they know how to be consistent. They don't know all of our terminology. They don't know exactly how we want to play. And so that's where the returners come in and say, hey, that's not a good shot, or this is what we're looking for on this, or what she's wanting you to do is this. And so as a coaching staff, that's where you want to get to, is when the players are helping the players and you're not having to correct every detail and show them every single thing. Now they're stepping in because they understand the importance of all the details. So that's been nice to see that sophomore class kind of take a leadership role and have a lot of ownership of what we're doing.
So, Coach, you have new players coming in, 5 transfers, 3 freshmen. Who should we be excited for? Like, I know you don't like to talk about stars, and I always ask you who's going to be a star or who is a star, but we have the roster here. Like, who? You can share a little bit.
Well, you know, they all bring something to the table that we didn't have.
I know they all do.
That's why we brought them in.
They wouldn't be wearing the silver and blue if they didn't.
So I'll start kind of oldest to youngest. So Marguerite Effa from USC, obviously big post player, played at a high level, incredibly talented athletically. I think our whole staff wished we could have her longer because you just see the development, and you know, having her in such a short time, we're going to really play to her strengths. And I think our fans will appreciate she can play to the rim. She's big and strong. We had a game of flag football one day, and they were throwing it to her like Odell Beckham Jr. She's like snatching it with one hand and getting hit, you know, and scoring touchdowns. She's just really athletic, and you know, probably should have been playing tackle football, to be honest. That's kind of how she plays. The junior class. JJ Nakai from Flagstaff, Arizona, great 3-point shooter, loves the game of basketball. If she's not in class and you guys want to find JJ, she's in the gym. You know, she wants to be in there. She loves to be in there shooting. Mickey Alla, she's from Hawaii, went to Salt Lake Community College. Her and JJ were both All-Americans in their junior college divisions, and she will play a lot of point guard. She will run our team. Tough player, just aggressive defensively, really good mid-range player. Nia Alexander, funny, her mom played college basketball with Laura Gonzalez on our staff, okay. So there's that connection. And she graduated from USF in 3 years with her degree, and she has 2 years left to play. And she's getting her MBA and a certificate in renewable energy, so she's very smart, extremely hard worker, and honestly has been probably our best vocal leader. And when I love that as a new player, coming in and not afraid to have a voice and hold people accountable. So that's been awesome.
I just want to recap that real quick. Nia Alexander, who will wear 25 with the Wolfpack, undergraduate in 3 years, has 2 seasons of eligibility left, working on the MBA now here.
Yes.
And is among your most vocal leaders.
Yes.
This is a motivated individual.
Absolutely. And again, if you came in before practice, 30 minutes every day, she's in there asking someone to work with her on something. Like, she's really motivated to be the best she can be in 2 years. And so that's just, as a coach, you love coaching that, you know.
I'm going to put you on the spot. We were talking about you coming on the show beforehand. And like, you're America's favorite coach. Everybody's like, oh, Coach Levins is going to be here. Like, we love all the coaches, yeah. truly. Mm-hmm. But are you aware that folks feel that way about you? Like,
no.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they love Coach Levins. We love Coach Levins, right? Right. Like, yes, that's right.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you don't. And it's not a ruse with you. Like, you're just. This is just how you are. Were you this way as a player too? Like.
Probably off the court.
Yeah.
On the court, I was just very competitive.
Like, yeah. I mean, you have a stressful job, but I mean, I guess everybody seems to appreciate the full spectrum of your humanity in a way that you don't often encounter in college athletics. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm probably embarrassing you, huh?
A little.
Yeah. A little? Sorry. Sorry.
Hard not to embarrass Coach Levins there, but it is true. She is one of the more likable coaches throughout the university. Not that there's any coaches not likable, but she is definitely a very friendly and very easy to talk to coach. So big thank you to her, to Coach Norvell for being on the coaches show, and big thank you to Learfield IMG College for allowing us to use that sound from the coaches show as well here on our show. And before we go to break, Sean, first of two giveaways, what do we got for the people?
We got a pair of tickets to go to Slaughterhouse at Greater Nevada Field, Thursdays through Saturdays. It ends November 2nd.
There you go. That goes to caller number 9 at 775-333-0945. Talk about F1 in Mexico after the break here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
Well, Formula One is in Mexico. They are getting ready for the 2019 Mexican Grand Prix. It is round 18 of 21 on the F1 calendar this year, and we could see a champion crowned. It's going to take a Herculean effort from Lewis Hamilton to outscore Valtteri Bottas. If my math is correct, which I am never sure that it actually is, but I try. I try to get it as close to right as I can. But I feel like, it seems as though Hamilton is going to have to outscore Valtteri by 24 points if he wants to try and win the Drivers' Championship here in Mexico this weekend. I don't see that happening, because essentially that means worst comes to worst, Lewis would have to win the race, and let's say he gets, even if he doesn't get the bonus point for fastest lap, that's 25 points for the victory, which means Valtteri would have to finish 10th, meaning he would just get 1 point. That would cause a 24-point differential that would give Lewis the championship. I don't see Valtteri finishing 10th, especially with the way practice went today in Mexico. Practice won. Hamilton may have led the way, but it was a pretty tight battle all the way through. And if you look at practice two, Bottas was able to outrun Hamilton by about 0.3 of a second. So Valtteri's been able to hold his own. Of course, winning the last race in Japan helped Mercedes clinch their 6th consecutive Constructors World Championship. And of course, they'll make history whenever Hamilton or Bottas wins the Drivers' Championship, with those two being the only ones left in the competition that is able to win the Drivers' Championship. So kind of looking as how this goes down the road, it's going to be a tight battle. Mexico always produces some fun races, and we've only had the Mexican Grand Prix back on the calendar now for 4 years. It's kind of gone in stints. The first stint was 1962 to 1970, which also the first race was didn't actually count towards the Formula One World Championship. We've had two Americans win the Mexican Grand Prix back-to-back in 64 and 65. 1964, Dan Gurney for a Brabham Climax was able to win. Then 1965, Richie Ginther of Honda was able to win. Those are the only two Americans to win the Mexican Grand Prix. That first stint from 62 to 70, a lot of classic winners, Jim Clark, Graham Hill, like I said, Dan Gurney. Then you go to that second stint. It was off the calendar from 71 to 85. Then you get to the second stint again, Gerhard Berger, Nigel Mansell, Alan Prost, Ayrton Senna, just classics in Formula One history getting to win there. Then it was off
the calendar again from 93 to 2014. And then, of course, Rosberg and Hamilton getting wins for Mercedes in 15 and 16 before the young Dutchman Max Verstappen won in 2017 and 2018. So we'll see if Verstappen can make it three wins in 3 years. He was second in practice two, just about a tenth off of Sebastian Vettel, and he was third in practice one, also about a tenth off of Leclerc, and or a tenth off of Hamilton, just a couple hundredths of a second off Leclerc. So once again, Verstappen showing he's got pace, and he could be another upset winner right now, essentially, with Hamilton and Bottas just trying to decide the Drivers' Championship. Everybody else is now racing for pride, and there's a couple seats. There's four seats still left open for Formula One next year, so a lot of guys trying to prove what they can do. Of course, some free agents like Nico Hülkenberg might be looking for a spot that's not already taken. Giovinazzi, Alexander Albon, some of the young guys trying to keep their spot they have now for next year. And the next couple races are going to be huge, and they're in a lot of fun places. Mexico City, Austin, Texas, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Abu Dhabi. The last four races of this year all offer something really different on track or with their tracks, and I think it just makes it even more fun to see how the season winds down. I wish, of course, the championships were still more in play. I wish the Constructors' Championship was still going on. I wish there was a couple more drivers live for the Drivers' Championship, but that is what it is, and hopefully Valtteri can continue to fight, continue to take this battle through the rest of the season. Like I said, Hamilton's going to have to outscore him by 24 points this race if he wants to win it. I don't see that happening, so very likely that Hamilton could clinch it in the United States or, in fact, Brazil. Or maybe, just maybe, Valtteri Bottas gives us enough hope that he can take this championship all the way to Abu Dhabi and possibly push Hamilton to the brink and maybe disrupt Hamilton's three-peat and disrupt him getting his sixth championship. I would love to see Valtteri pull off that upset. I know our pal Chip here wouldn't. He's a big Lewis Hamilton fan, so he would want to see Hamilton continue to win. But I like what Bottas has done. I like what he continues to do for Mercedes. I'm happy to see that he's going to be back on that team next year. And I mentioned Alexander Albon. And him trying to get that seat at Red Bull next to Verstappen next year. And right now, Albon is still behind Pierre Gasly, 75 points to 64. Now, the only reason I bring that up is because Pierre Gasly gave up or had his seat taken away from him to give to Albon. So depending on whether or not Alex can get by him these last few races, could decide possibly who gets that other seat at Red Bull next year. So that could be a big last couple races as well, especially with Albon crashing out in practice two today. There's a lot of pressure on the young Thai driver to continue to do well. I mean, he's scored, I think, in the last four or five races. He's scoring points. So that's something that Pierre Gasly wasn't able to do in his time there at Red Bull in the first half of the season. So maybe this is kind of the change that Pierre Gasly needs. Get back to Toro Rosso for a little bit. Get your groove back. Possibly maybe get back up to Red Bull next year. And maybe just put Albon back down to Toro Rosso for the start. Otherwise, I like the way Alex has been driving, and I think he's done a great job with it, and so we'll see how Mexico goes. But again, I think it's shaping up to be a fun race with the top three drivers in each session being about a tenth or two-tenths apart, so it's showing that it's going to be a competitive field, and hopefully we just get some fun racing here at the end of the season with just two drivers left for the only championship still available, so hopefully we get some good shows. But that is the end of the first hour of the show. We are going to throw it back to the top of the hour, or to SportsCenter here at the top of the hour, and then we'll be back a few minutes after two with our pal Ian Epstein from PropSwap and a bunch of other stuff. That's coming up on Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.